And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Luke, good afternoon and happy new year.
Mate, you too. It's funny how every other day seems to be Friday at the moment. So.
It's a busy life, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Busy life. Well, today we're here to talk about comparing super funds, which of course is a very important topic.
Mm.
Super funds have been the subject of much regulatory change over the years. It does get confusing for people.
Yep.
The government has tried to make it easier for people to compare super funds, but have they been successful?
Mm. Oh, look, I think the way the legislative environment is at the moment, we're moving away from clear and simple at light speed. And I think it's probably the polar opposite of what the regulatory reform is designed to try and sort of achieve. But again, I think this is quite topical because, you know, it's a new calendar year. People have got a separate or new set of objectives. And this was really quite topical at the moment because people are asking a lot of questions because this time of year they've had a bit of spare time to sit around and look at stuff and, you know, all the things they've been meaning to get to through the year, you know, early in the new calendar year is one of those times where people sit down and go, okay, well, what's actually going on with my stuff? So today's quite appropriate. We're going to touch on some of the key things to look for when comparing super funds.
I know we're into the second week of January already, so most people may have already broken most of their New Year's resolutions by now, but one of them is almost always manage my finances better, and a big part of that has got to be reviewing your superannuation arrangements.
Yeah, look, you're exactly right. I think, you know, leading into the back end of last year, we talked about, you know, the importance of budgeting and some key strategies there, and this then sort of flows on from that because people then look at where money's going, they're looking at fees and charges, and they're looking at, you know, what has got their attention, and at the moment, obviously, with markets being where they are, it's quite important to understand how your money's invested and take into account some of the key things we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so when we sit down to make the comparison, it's a bit terrifying for most people because it is complex. There's a lot of funds out there. Where do we start and what should we look for?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I've got a list here of some of the key things that I think are very important when you're looking at a fund because I often say in appointments that super funds are a lot like cars. And what I mean by that is tradies generally have utes because they've got tools to carry around.
Yep.
They don't drive minis.
Right.
And people should think about their superannuation in a similar vein. They need a fund that will give them the options and the flexibilities that they're after, taking into account their current, future and broader objectives. So, you know, I'd start with what does it cost? It's obviously very topical. And like most things in life, pay peanuts, get monkeys. This is no different when it comes to looking at superannuation funds. So look at the administration costs. That's the first, I guess, basic level of analysis. What am I paying? What could I be paying? That's the first port of call.
So that's the fees that are charged by the fund for managing your money.
Well, this is where I guess I break these down because this can be a little bit hard to compare if you don't know what you're looking at.
Right.
So when I say an admin fee, some funds will charge a fee for membership that is charged on a sliding scale, depending on how much is in the fund, and that's just for you being in that fund. So some funds may not charge an admin fee, and a lot of people look at them and go, oh, they're cheap.
Mm.
And that brings us to our second, you know, point of comparison, which is look at the individual investment cost,
right,
or the acronym is ICR, the internal cost ratio. And that's a very fancy way of saying, what does the individual investment I am in charge me for being in it?
Right.
Okay, and I point those two out right at the start because you can have some funds charge an admin fee and an internal cost ratio. You can have some just charge an internal cost ratio that may be higher because it may incorporate an admin fee by stealth.
Right.
And that's why I sort of start with those two because a lot of people come in and go, oh, this one's better because it doesn't charge an admin fee, but then don't realise that the ICR is three times what it should be. So
even right from the very beginning, it's more complicated than most people think.
Look, it's, you know, simple super, not so simple. So those are the first two when you're looking at raw cost. Now, depending on how you create a portfolio and what your investment menu is, and that's our third point, what's your investment menu? What are the options you have in relation to the assets you can hold? Because it's one thing to say, I have a car, but if you needed a reversing camera and it's not there, you probably wouldn't buy the car.
Right, exactly.
And an investment menu is exactly that in the super world. I want to be able to hold shares, which means I want to be able to hold, you know, income-producing stock. I want to be able to control my franking credits.
Yes.
Because that was quite topical at the last election. I want to be able to hold cost-effective investments like an exchange-traded fund, for example, that we've talked about in other shows. Now, if your investment menu doesn't allow you to buy those things, then that particular super fund may not be for you.
Exactly.
And that's why I use the analogy of a car. If you're looking for a reversing camera and you're looking for ABS brakes and you're looking for somewhere to throw the kids' toys in the back, two-door sports car may not get it done.
Exactly. So it's like an options list.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. And understanding, you know, what your admin fees are, what your internal cost ratios are, what your investment menu is, will then lead you to be able to say, okay, is this fund going to give me access to the things that I need and want as part of my broader investment strategy? Because super's a long-term thing, right? So you don't really want to be jumping from fund to fund because there are entry fees and exit fees in some funds. There's obviously then transaction costs of moving. So finding a right fund that will give you the longevity that you need can limit unnecessary expenses being incurred.
You've just confused me again. Not only is there an admin fee, there might also be a transaction fee. That's worse than the banks. They're charging you fees for everything.
Well, again, this is where people need to look into these things, right? Because if you're going to buy things and sell things, obviously the fund that you're in may charge an entry fee or an exit fee.
Yeah.
There may be other fees in relation to super splitting. There may be other fees in relation to something's flagged, say, through a divorce. So it's important to understand what you're up for or what you could be charged, depending on whether you need something either now or in the future. So, you know, look at the admin fee, look at the internal cost ratio, look at your investment menu. I think those three will give you a pretty good grounding of what's available. So a lot of people say, well, is my fund good? And I use an analogy for tradies. If you had a drill and a spanner, can you do everything you need to do? And they look at you and go, no, I need a whole toolbox.
Exactly.
And I'm a bit similar. I can't work with a fund that only gives you three investment options because you may need something that's outside of what's offered. So by default, the fund that you're in may not be appropriate. It's not to say there's anything wrong with it, but again, if we're putting a structure to a need, being able to use or have access to things that you want, and if they're not offered, then that fund may not be right for you. It's not to say it's not a good fund. There's nothing wrong with a mini. I just may not get in one.
No. You're too tall.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're the things I'll be looking for. The last thing that I think is really, really important when you're comparing funds is look at the asset allocation.
All right.
And what I mean by that is this. We touched on a show a number of weeks ago about balanced not being so balanced. And what I mean by that is the underlying allocation of the investment you're in. And let me elaborate. So I'm in ABC fund and it's balanced.
Right.
And that fund, by nature, we hear the word balanced. So we assume I can compare that balance fund to another balance fund. Now, the way those balance funds are invested could be very, very different.
Yes.
And if I use the car analogy again, if I have a red Mazda and a green Mazda, and they're both Mazda 3s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the red Mazda's going down the highway at 140 kilometres an hour,
yeah,
and the green Mazda's going down the highway at 100 kilometres an hour,
mm-hmm.
they are not the same.
No.
The red Mazda will get to the finish line first because it is driving faster, but they are both Mazda 3s.
Yeah.
And that is the analogy I use to explain asset allocation. If one balance fund has a higher allocation to growth assets, let's say 85% of that fund is in a growth asset, and we compare that to another balanced fund that has 50% growth assets, it's unfair to compare the two in relation to their performance because you've got two cars driving at different speeds. You've got two funds investing with different growth profiles. So that's the fourth key thing that I'd be looking at in relation to comparing the fund you're in with another, is to actually look under the hood and say, okay, great, they're both balanced funds or they're both growth funds or they're both conservative funds, but what are they actually invested in? Because it will make a huge difference and skew your comparison in relation to performance if they are not invested in the same manner.
Luke, we were talking about asset allocation mm-hmm. and investment options. So why exactly are these investment options important?
Yeah, look, I think understanding the tools that you can use, you know, before the ad break, we use the analogy of having a toolbox with the loads of different equipment, and super funds are no different. So when people come in and I say to them, well, what are you really after in relation to your super? People generally give me, well, I want as much growth as I can get without taking too much risk. I want to be able to manage my costs, and I want to be able to control the income or the dividends that come off my investments and make the most of things like franking credits. So having an appropriate investment menu really allows you to address the asset allocation, as we touched on, through the use of cost-effective investments, through the use of actively managed investments. So what I mean by that is an ETF or an exchange-traded fund is generally what we classify as a passive investment because it replicates a specific exposure to the market, which could be the ASX 200 biggest companies, the ASX 20 biggest companies, 100, property, international, et cetera, et cetera. So if you've got a combination of passive assets, they're generally very, very cost effective. If you have some actively managed funds, that could allow you to target certain areas of the market and then lean on the experience of certain fund managers to help you get some of that outperformance, either during times of volatility or when markets are fully priced like we're seeing, you know, at the moment. So having access to a suitable range of investments really lets you then tailor the active and passive structure of the fund, but also then to maximise the use of franking credits. So for the retirees out there, when income is really important, you want to be able to have a strong dividend profile of your assets, but then also maximise the use of franking credits in pension structures because they're tax-free in nature. And as the term says, surplus franking credits are returned to you as cash when the tax return of your fund is completed. So being able to hold listed shares and control the franking credits is very, very important because a lot of the time how you generate your return is just as important, if not more important, than the total return. Because before the break, we touched on two cars driving at the same speed should get to the end of the road at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, if you run two different balance funds, you're not going to find a significant amount of difference where you're maintaining the same asset exposures. So being able to have a very broad investment suite can really help you tailor your fund and really sort of target the key areas to you depending on whether you're in accumulation, whether you're in pension phase, or maybe you're in transition where you're doing a bit of work and you're also then adding to or drawing from superannuation. I find a lot of people say to me that controlling my income is vital because income distributions help then fund pension payments and limit the need for you to access your capital from your accumulated superannuation base. So it's really important that you have an appropriate menu so that you can tailor your fund the best way you can.
So what are some strategies to consider when it's time to select the right fund for you?
Yeah, so look, I say, make sure you've got a good handle on your costs. That's the first port of call. Could also then look to maintain a fund that is offering you access to assets that will help you set up your risk profile. Not everybody's perception of risk is the same. So if conservative is right for you, then look for funds that give you, you know, active fixed interest investments that will let you buy things like converting preference shares or bond funds or high-yielding term deposits, depending on how you perceive that sector. You also then maintain a fund that gives you the ability to benefit as well from family discounts. So some providers now will look at your fund and maybe your spouse's fund and maybe the kids' funds, and when they're working out the fees and charges, they'll apply them to the collective value. And generally speaking, most funds, the admin charge is less the more that's in there. So look for a fund that provides you with a family discount so that you can combine the aggregated value of your assets to lower your fees and charges across the board. I'd also look for funds that let you hold individually listed shares. Obviously, find a fund that has the ability to offer exchange-traded funds because they're a great diversification tool at a very low cost. And you bring those two things together and you can actually have active and passive management inside your fund whilst bolstering your income and maximising your franking credits. So if you get the right investment menu, look for a family discount, make sure the broader menu is appropriate for you, understand your risk profile. Okay, and that may be the first port of call when you go into this process is to sit down and say, well, how do I really feel about risk? so that I can actually compare a fund that is appropriate for my individual risk profile, not what my spouse thinks, not what my kids think, not what the boys at work think, because everybody's perception of risk can be different.
Right.
So there's some key things I'll be looking at. I'd also be looking at your internal cost ratios or the investment cost of your broader portfolio. If you're in a fund that just holds managed funds, you want to have that at sort of 0.5 to 0.7. 0.8s, 0.9s, depending on the value of what your fund has, can start to get a little bit on the expensive side.
Right.
If collectively you're running a managed fund or you're running managed funds in your superannuation account and the internal cost ratio is over 1%, get on the phone and let's try and get that down, because if you could save 0.5% in cost over the next 10, 15, 20 years, you do the math on your balance, that can be a quite a significant amount of money, and we haven't talked about a dollar of performance. So if we can get your raw cost down, try and then limit the money that you've got going out the door. And also when you're looking at a fund, consider the insurance options that that fund provides, because they may have one, two, three or four different providers. And depending on who you use, it could actually be a lot cheaper to consider your options outside of the fund. So what the fund offers in by way of insurance is also very important, because they're fixed cost each year.
And some people may not even need insurance in their fund. They might have other arrangements.
Correct. Exactly right. So, you know, if you're in an industry fund and you've just copped the default option and you don't need it, well, knock it on the head. I don't want you people paying for things that they don't necessarily need. Always ask why. Start with why and then work your way backwards from there. And insurance is a great example. Know what's there and know what you're paying for.
So if we're interested in finding out more, where do we go to get more information?
Yeah, look, I say, you know, with it being the new year, the diaries is looking a lot more in control than it was leading into Christmas. So, you know, bring in your funds, bring in your paperwork and, you know, let us sit down and have a look at it. And if we can identify some savings and some options and point you in the right direction, that's great. Obviously, we've got the podcast, Luke Talks Money, the Strategy Stacker on iTunes. And for those that missed the podcast, we've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, where we've got all the key takes outs of this show. And you can stop, pause it and make a list of things that you need to look at. So
you can always check the website, envisionfinancial.com.au, or just call the office, 0262604749.
Beautiful.
Sensational. Luke, thanks very much for that. And we'll catch up with you again next week.
We'll see you next week, mate.